Let the church say amen. If you love God, say amen one more time. Truly, this is a day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. I'm excited, man. I'm excited to stand here before you. I have to get all this out of the way, and then we're going to jump into the Word. But I have to say this. This is actually probably my second favorite place on the planet to preach. And I mean that from the depths of my heart. I got a couple of New Life members here, so if I would have said my favorite place, I probably would have heard about it a little later. So hopefully I can get away with saying my second favorite. But I really mean it. I really mean it. I'm honored every time I have an opportunity to share here, because this church is the reason why our church still exists. Amen. And I won't bore you with the backlog story. Many of you guys already know it, but Ember is the reason why New Life still exists. So that's why this place will always be a dear place to my heart to preach at, because I wouldn't be able to pour into the hearts of our members had it not been for Ember. So Chris and Kevin, all you guys, I'm honored to be here. Amen. But I'm not going to keep you long with all that. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter number 17. Amen. 1 Kings chapter number 17 is where we're going to find our word this morning. Chris said something earlier. He was saying that he felt there was a dragging spirit, just kind of a heaviness. And I kind of felt it during praise and worship. And so I wanted to certainly pray that the Lord would move throughout this building, because I believe that God is up to something. I really do. I really believe that God is indeed up to something. I believe that God has a tremendous purpose, a tremendous plan for Ember as it relates to Chester, New Life as it relates to Chester, Celebrate Recovery as it relates to Chester, I-58 as it relates to Chester. Everything that's connected to this great church, I believe that it's essential to what the Lord is getting ready to do in Chester. So I'm excited about that. But let's go 1 Kings chapter number 17. There you will find these words. It says, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain for these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith, that there it is before Jordan. Verse number 4 says, And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Verse 5 tells us that he says, So he went and he did according to the word of the Lord, and for he went and dwelled by the brook of Cherith, for it is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him food and flesh in the morning, and the bread and the flesh in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Now, Chris, this is where I believe the heaviness is. This is where I believe the heaviness is. Because Elijah, like many of us, and I'm going to read the rest of the scripture, so don't close your Bible. But Elijah, like many of us, he has just experienced a blessing from God. He experienced a blessing from God. And how many of you have ever really experienced a great blessing from God? I'm talking about not a blessing that your college degree entitled you to. I'm talking about not a blessing that your last name entitled you to, or who you were connected to entitled you to. But I'm talking about a blessing that you know that if it had not been for the hand of God, then there's no way in the world you would have been able to experience it. You spent years trying to make sense out of it, but every time you come to the conclusion that it must have been God, you talk to friends and you say, man, you won't believe what happened, and you're looking for them to give you a level of understanding or comprehension, but they come to the same conclusion that, man, listen, I have no answer for you. It must have been the hand of God. So Elijah now, he was told by the Lord, he said, I need you to go to this place, and I'm going to command a blessing to sustain you. But I said that this is where the heaviness is, because in verse number 7, there was a shift. Somebody shout shift. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. But God, didn't you say I was going to drink from the brook. But God, didn't you say my child was going to stay delivered? But God, didn't you say that by your stripes I was healed, but the tumor just came back? But God, didn't you say that you were going to make me the lender and not the borrower, but now the factory has closed down? God, you said the brook was going to sustain me, but the brook just dried up. Now what? Heaviness comes when we usher ourselves into a season of now what? Heaviness always comes when we find ourselves in a place where we can't make a comprehension. We can't understand why what was such a great time has now shifted into one of the worst of times. You know, when I was younger and I was able to exercise and I was able to keep my health well, but now I'm finding myself in a place where it seems like no matter how hard I try, every time I go to the doctor, they're telling me that things are taking a turn for the worse. The brook dried up. Brook dried up. But ain't it good to know that not only is God the Alpha and he's the Omega, but he's also the God of the in-between. Okay. He's also the God of the in-between. Now I think I messed myself up because I think the first time I preached here, I used a sheet and I carried a kid. And the second time I preached, I made a cake. And so now I'm like, I got to preach again. And now I got to come up with something else. So this is what I came up with. I promise you, there's nothing wrong with them. I promise you. Come here, Channing. I want some of you guys to help me. Now, anybody like Oreos? All right, so this plate should be going fast. So the hands that go up, Chan, I want you to make sure that they get an Oreo. Give me a lemon one, two lemon ones. All right, hurry up. Give me your hands. Give me your Oreo hands. Hurry up. Don't put it in your mouth and just eat it. I want you to hold it for a minute. It's part of my illustration. All right, but don't eat the Oreo first. But I want you to grab it real quick. Hurry up, Chan. You got to hurry up. You got to run. You got to hurry up. That's my son, y'all. He's pass it. Just pass it like you're passing a collection plate. Instead of them putting something in it, let them take something out. Ain't it good to sometimes take something out? Usually the plate comes by and we got to put something in. But this morning we're going to take something out. Go to the other side. They're getting jealous. Hurry up. All right, just pass it down. Just pass it down. I don't want you to eat it yet. I want us to all do this in unison. So I want to take a few minutes to set this up. And I was worried that the Oreos weren't going to get gone. All right. So we got the Oreos. All right. So if you got an Oreo, I want you to hold up. We're not going to bless it and break it. I want you to just hold it up. So with this Oreo, when you look at it, this Oreo is comprised of two pieces. And both of these two pieces, they're held together by something in between. This Oreo, see, somebody was walking with this Oreo, no matter what happens, there's something that's strong enough between it that's holding it together. Now, some of you guys may eat the Oreos like I used to when I was little. I used to take the Oreos and I used to twist it and take it apart. I never understood why I did this, but I did it. And then I would take the side with the cream on it and I would scrape it off and eat the cream first. And then I would eat the two wafers. But go ahead and take, you can actually eat it now. Somebody's like, well, you just hurry up. But this Oreo, I want us to look at this Oreo as it relates to the story of Elijah. Elijah was in a place where the Lord gave him a word early that said, listen, there's going to be a drought. There's going to be a drought. The rain is not going to come until I say it. But I want you to not lose hope. I want you to hold on to the fact that I am a supplying God. He says that I want you to hold on to the fact that I'm Jehovah Jireh, your provider. No matter what it is that you walked into when you came into this place, God is a God that shall provide. There's some of us who came in and our health hasn't been the best. But the good news of the day is that he says that by my stripes, you're healed. Some of us have come in here and we're worried about our children. We're worried about our grandchildren. But the Lord says that he is a deliverer. The Bible says that when the enemy tried to snatch us, he delivered us out of the hands of the devourer. So what I stopped by Ember this morning to just encourage you, to let you know that you might be on this side of the blessing. You may be in the middle of the blessing. You may be on the end of the blessing, but the fact of the matter is this. God is such a great God that we have to get back to preaching that he is a God of the in-between. The reason why we lose hope is because all you hear is he's Alpha. All you hear is he's Omega. But what happens when the doctor said, listen, cancer just showed back up? What happens when it seems like all hope is gone? Do we still have enough God in us to encourage people to say, listen, don't lose hope. I know things used to be better. I know things were trending the right way. I know things were well just a few months ago. But the thing that I know about God is that he's a God that he'll never leave you, nor will he forsake you, but he'll be with you always, even until the end. That's the kind of God that we serve. But many of us have gotten stuck on this God. We want to operate and we want to serve a God that always blesses us. We always want to be in fellowship with the God that's always providing our every need at that moment. Many of us, we only want to worship God when it seems like things are going well. But the moment it seems that the tide shifts, we begin to lose hope. We begin to question God. God, if you are who you say you are, then why am I dealing with this storm? God, I've worshiped you. God, I've served you. God, I've done everything that you've required of me. Why is it that I'm dealing with it? But I'm reminded of what Job said. Job said, yet though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Why? Because I know that God is such a great God that he won't allow my foot to be moved. God knows the plans that he has for me before the foundations of the earth. So you may be going through something right now. But God hasn't forgotten about you. He hasn't forgotten about you. I was studying, and as I studied this week, I was just thinking about this word in between. You know, I never really heard the pastor or the leaders who I was serving under really give a name to the God of the in between. I remember him always talking about he's Alpha, he's the beginning. I always heard him talk about he's Omega, he's the end. But never, Chris, did I ever hear him stop and say that he's God of Mesios. That's the Greek word for in between. That's M-E-S-O-S. He's that God too. He's that God that even in the middle of your storm, he's still God. Even in the middle of when it seems like nothing's going to turn around, he's still that God. I broke it down and I said, okay, God, in the Greek, what I need you to explain this. He said, not only am I the God of the in-between, but really in actuality, the word between in the Greek means in the midst of. Let me ask this question. Let's do a blessing check. Anybody need God to do something for him? Anybody been waiting on God to do something for him? What I just told you is that he's the God that's in the midst of what you're dealing with at this moment. So if you hold on just a little while longer, if he's the God of the beginning, if he's the God of in the midst of, if he's the God of the end, then I promise you all you have to do is lift your hand up. Don't lose faith and know that God is still with you. God hasn't left you, but God is going to still walk with you. All you got to do is look for him. Chris, I grabbed my journal and I started writing as you was ministering that song. He said, let us become more aware of your presence. Even in your waiting stage, his presence is still near. Even in the middle of you wanting God to do something, needing God to do something, he's still in the midst of it. The song said, let us become more aware. If we're going to become more aware, that means even if we can't trace them, it still means that he's not there. It still means that God is still a very present help in a time of need. If you need God to do something, I dare you become more aware of his presence, because he's still right here. He's still right here. He hadn't moved. But the problem is not God. The problem is us. Are we more aware of where he is? When the doctor comes in and he says, well, I've done all that I can do. Based upon my level of expertise, I think it's about 6 more months. Can you still look at him and say, doctor, I thank you. And I still know that God is still good. He's still good. He's still good. And you can only say that when you realize that God is the God of the in-between. Let me give you 3 points, and I'm going to try to make sense out of all of this. The in-between, and I'm going to talk about the story. But for those of you that take notes, I want you to write down this as your first note. The in-between is the passageway of your blessings. The in-between is the passageway of your blessings. If you don't lose hope in the in-between stage, God will take you from one blessing to another. If you don't lose sight of what God promised you from the beginning, then you'll be able to go through a storm and still be able to sleep knowing that God is still on board. You'll still be able to keep your hope, your faith, and still believe that God is still a supplier of all of your needs. You can only do that if you realize that the in-between is the passageway to your blessing. You don't believe me? Look at Elijah. Elijah was told, he said, now the brook is going to give you something to drink. The ravens are going to feed you. But then the brook dried up. So at that moment, Elijah ushered himself. He moved into an in-between stage. He moved into a passage stage. And when he moved into this stage, then he became attentive to what God had to say next. Ask somebody, are you attentive to what God is saying? The reason why I ask you that is because you have to understand something. Many of us in this stage, when God has said something and then something shifts, we never go back to God saying, okay, God, what is it that you require of me next? Immediately when things seem to go south, we begin to try to make sense out of it. Why are they treating me like this? Well, why did that have to happen? What did I do wrong? Now, go back and say, God, what is it that you require of me next? The Bible says that, watch this, after the brook dried up, verse number 8, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, even in your in-between state, the Lord will speak again. That's good news. Even when things have taken a shift, he'll still speak to you. He'll still guide you. For the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not to thy own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. So even when you don't understand, you got to acknowledge him. Because Elijah, he went back to the Lord and said, all right, the brook dried up. Now what? Now what? Some of us, when we go home, we need to simply get in our quiet place and ask God, now what? Now what? Now what? I served you. I've done everything you required of me. Things have shifted. Now what? I'm not going to waste energy trying to make sense out of that. I'm just going to ask you, now what? Now what? Because when Elijah said, now what? The Lord said, arise, watch this, and go to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain you. So in his in-between phase, the Lord spoke to him. And after the Lord spoke to him, he instructed him. And after he instructed him, he blessed him. We have to get from one side of the wafer to the other side. And I know the cream feels good. I know it tastes good. But you got to make up in your mind that I'm tired of where I am right now. So I'm going to trust God to take me to the next place that he longs for me to be. And I promise you, he'll get you there sooner than you know. He'll get you there. And the key to the whole situation is you. Are you going to be attentive to what God has to say? Are you going to be curious to ask God, God, what is it that you're requiring of me? God, what is it that you want me to do? God, what is it? What is your purpose? And for the Bible says in Romans 8:28, for all things work together for the good of them that love God and that are called according to his purpose. So even in an in-between state, God can still work it for your good. He can still work it for your good. Why? Because God is a God that leaves nothing unused. I work at Boise Cascade in the IT department. This is kind of just, I guess, off kilter. But I remember when I first went there and they took me on a tour of the plant. The guy said, now, this is where you see these log trucks come in. And when this log truck comes in, every aspect of that tree is going to be used. Every aspect of it. I walked through the whole process of it. He said they go to the vats, they get soaked, they go through the debarker, they take the bark off. The bark is going to fall down. It's going to get on a conveyor belt. It's going to go down. It's going to get in a grinder. It's going to get ground up. It's going to become mulch. He said, now we're going to take this other part of the tree. We're going to put it on the lathe and we're going to spin it really, really small. And then after it comes out, it's going to be the post that you use to build fences. Every aspect of this tree is going to be used. God is a God that he's not going to allow any aspect of your life to go unused. Even your dark days, he's still going to use them. Even when it doesn't feel good, he's still going to use them. The Bible is filled with people who had dark days that were used for God's glory. You may be in a dark place right now, but trust me, he'll still use it for his glory. He'll still use it that somebody else might be saved. For the woman at the well, she said it this way, and I'll give you my last points and I'll be done. But he told the woman at the well, he said, where's thy husband? I don't have one. He said, I know, because you got five. And the one you with now ain't yours. That was a dark day. A real dark day, right? Like, God, stop talking. But watch what happened. After that, the Bible says that she ran back to the city and she said, come see a man who told me all about everything I had done. So even in the darkest of darkest, he'll still use it. The key is you can't lose hope. You can't lose faith. You can't worry about what people have to say about your dark days. You have to press your way through. Give you these last 2 points and we're getting ready to go. Point number two says, don't lose sight of them during the in-between. Don't lose sight of them during the in-between. When you on a high place of blessings, it's great. It's easy to worship God when things are happening. Contracts are coming in. The business is flourishing. It's good. But then nobody calls your number. And you have to lay off some of your crew. And you find yourself in a lower place. Don't lose sight of them. Don't lose sight of them. Because what I've learned is that it's during the in-between stage that God does his greatest works. It's during the in-between stages that we see God in an intimate way. It's during the in-between stages that God begins to reveal himself to us in a supernatural way. You didn't think you were going to make it, but I kept you. You didn't know how the next miracle was going to come, but I provided it for you. Those things only happen during the in-between stage. Give you the last part. The cross, it shows us the in-between stage. Hey, Bender, is that wooden cross still out there? You'll get it for me. They ate all my Oreos. Now I got to use something else. But I want you to see this. I want you to see this. The Bible says that for 42 generations, it took for Christ to come. It says that he came down he went through a lineage and he found himself in a place where he had to do what we couldn't do. Now, I want you to see, put it behind me. I want you to see this in-between stage. But this is what the in-between, my son used to, I had this cross that I used to carry sometimes when I did different demonstrations, but he's too big now to get on the cross, so I got to. One Sunday, y'all, I still got the picture of it. It's in my office at home. As he was on the cross, he had his shirt off. He had some shorts on, and I showed the people what it looked like for the father to nail his son to the cross. It's one thing to hear it, but it's another thing to see it. And I laid the cross on the ground, and I laid him there. And I had the sound effects of a rubber mallet as I drove the nails in my son's hand on the cross. And he hung there. And I don't know about you, but even with me doing this, my breathing became labored because work started happening in the middle. Okay. Work started happening in between. It started happening. Not over here, not over there, but in between. And I don't know about you, but I heard that on this side of the cross was 33 years. On this side of the cross, we were supposed to be on our way to a dying hell. On that side of the cross. But somewhere in the middle, Chris, somewhere in the middle, he started working. He started working. And the Bible says that on that side of the cross was eternity. On that side of the cross, we were able to live forever. The song said that sin left a crimson stain. But in the middle of the cross, that side we were washed white as snow. When he hung us on the cross, he hung there and when they actually said, if you are who you say you are, why won't you call down angels to take you off? It's because he understood that it was in the middle where the truth happened. It was in the middle where the magic happened. It was in the middle where the miracle happened. And no matter how tough it got in the middle, no matter how hard it got in the middle, he realized that Terrence was going to be in the middle of the cross. He understood that in the middle, Chris was going to be in the middle of the cross. He understood that in the middle of the cross, Robinson was going to be able to get from death to everlasting life. He understood that in the middle of the cross, life was going to happen. It was going to happen forever. He understood that if the middle never happened, then he couldn't do what his father's will was. The Bible says that he come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. The Bible says that the will of God is that none of us perish, that have we everlasting life. It was in the middle of the cross that he came that we might live again. You might be on this side of the cross, but you got to remember that it was on the cross that he said it's finished. That's why it hurts when you lift your hands up. Because every time you lift your hands up, it's a reminder that you're going through the middle. Jesus on the cross, he had our nails in his hands to help him. Every one of our sins was holding them to the cross. The songwriter said it was the sins of us that nailed him to the cross. It was your sin that nailed him to the cross. It was my sin that nailed him to the cross. Our sins kept him to the cross, but watch this. Even in the middle, he didn't lose hope. He didn't lose sight. He didn't lose faith. Even in the middle, the Bible says that he looked to the right and there was somebody else being crucified. He was on that side of life. But Jesus knew that he was on his way to the other side of life. He said, this day you will be with me forever in paradise. Listen. He stayed on the cross for us. He stayed on the cross because he knew what was coming after. He stayed in the in-between because he knew what was coming after. So my prayer is this. Some of us, we may be on this side of our blessings, and that's cool. I praise God for you. Some of us are standing over here. Things are well. Some of us have tasted a little bit of his goodness, and so we find ourselves over here. But Chris, that heaviness was an indication that some of us are right here in the middle, trying to figure this thing out, trying to figure it out. My prayer for you is this. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Because after the middle, the Bible says that he got up with all power in his hand. While he was in the middle, he went down to hell and he got the keys. While he was in the middle, he had a conversation with death. Said, I got this. If you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. All you got to do is confess, and hell can't hold you. Death can't take you out. For the Bible says, oh, death, where's your sting? And I don't know about y'all, but if you ever got stung by a bee or anything, it hurts. So imagine what the sting of death should have felt like. But he took it. He took it so we wouldn't have to deal with it. He's the God of the in-between. You might be in between right now, but he's going to bring you out. He's going to bring you out. He's going to bring you out. In closing, grow not weary in good doing. For in due season, you shall reap a harvest if you faint not. Just hold on. Just hold on. Hold on. But Pastor, it's hard. I know. Just hold on. Pastor, you have no idea. I don't know if you heard me trying to preach on the cross with my hands lifted up. That's tougher than anything that you could have probably imagined. But he endured it. He endured it. And he said this, greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. That's the word of the Lord this morning. I want to pray for those who are, Janet, you can cut the video off, son. I want to pray for those who are in the middle. Those of you who are in the middle, we're going to open up the altar to pray for you. Now, when I give this call, I want you to know that this isn't any kind of slight. This isn't any kind of, you know, we're going to bring you out. You know, no, that's not what this is about. Because even the disciples said it this way. They said, Lord, I believe, but help thy unbelief. So life is tough, y'all. I know I hadn't lived, you know, as long as Chris E, you know, but there's a lot of Chris's in this church, man. But we want to pray for those that are in between. We want to pray for those that are in between. Now, if you wasn't at Celebrate Recovery, Molly, Barron, I'm going to tell you now, I'm not about to do that type of altar ministry today. Yo, we had a time at Celebrate Recovery the other night. I'm talking about after we stopped streaming the service live, I think we prophesied and laid hands for like another hour and 30 minutes, if not 2 hours. Because of the presence of God was so thick in this place. But I do want to pray for everybody that find themselves in between. Because it's a tough place to be in. It is. It's a scary place to be in. It is. But the thing I love about God is he's not called us to walk this salvation journey out by ourselves. For the Bible says it this way. He said, let the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. So if we're on that side of the cross and we know somebody's in the middle, it's our due diligence to help them. It's our responsibility as believers of Jesus Christ to not let their faith fail in the middle. I spent an hour yesterday, and my son is here with me. I spent an hour yesterday. I passed a homeless guy about 2 days ago, walking down Cherry Road. And I prayed that the Lord would give me an opportunity to see him again. And I saw him again yesterday. And I saw him. I circled the block, and my family was looking like, what's going on? And I got out, and I went and I grabbed his hands. I said, can I just pray with you? And I prayed with him. I said, can I buy you something to eat? And I fed him. But then my heart was still grieved because I felt like I hadn't done enough. So I saw him carrying all of his bags. His name was Matthew. Sean. He was 32 years old. 32 years old. Homeless. Homeless. Carrying everything that he owned up and down the road everywhere he went. And so I went back to my photography studio, and I got this wagon thing that I carry my stuff in, and I went and I bought a cooler, and I filled it up with ice and sodas, well, water and food and toiletries and all that. And I went back, and he was gone. He was gone. And I told my son, I said, I missed it. I missed it. Because I understand my responsibility to help those that are in need. If we can get to a place of realizing our responsibility of helping those that are in need, this passage place would be a whole lot easier. So I want you to help me pray for those that are in between. I don't want to miss this one.